We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's do this. It's our Tuesday, which means we get pretty baseball-y with Jeff Sullivan at 10, Joe Maddon at noon, midday midway at 11, and we are giving away two more pairs of passes to meet Joe Maddon after our July 24th live broadcast here at the Downtown Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. You want to meet Joe? Keep listening. You never know when we are going to do that giveaway. 312-644-6767. That's the number of WSCR The Score. You can email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live, streaming at 670thescore.com. Texting at 67011. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. We also have a Facebook page, so you can like the 670 The Score page.
Today's the day for that. Tuesdays are the day to like the Facebook page.
Why is that?
Corporate emails were going around. Apparently Tuesday is that it really just try get in on that conversation.
It gets,
you know, because the weekend has passed, and now we're into the meat of the conversation. There's Tuesday's your day.
Facebook Live and watch 670thescore.com for the video feed. That's directed by Brian Gertz.
These
cameras here. Hi. Yes.
Hi. Thanks.
I have a collared shirt on today.
Yeah, what is that about?
I don't know.
It's not ripped at all.
It is
seems
kinda.
As though it's... Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah.
It's and this
oh,
is,
my mistake.
This was one of these... I got this at the JCPenney in Madison.
In what decade? Don't tell me. Hold on.
No, this is one of those when I bought it, I knew like after you wash it four times, it's going to cease to be.
Threadbare.
I went to a wedding in Madison. And
in that shirt?
No. And I realized there was going to be a... I packed wrong because I didn't read the invite correctly. And I didn't know there was going to be like a brunch and then a dinner. So I needed a shirt.
Some kind of shirt.
And I went to the mall.
That is definitely a shirt.
You know the mall on...
Yeah, I know the mall.
Main Street. Is it Main Street?
State Street.
Yes. That's the mall where I hung out when I used to do Madison Muskies games, and I had nothing to do during the day, so I'd wander around that
mall.
Find
yourself State Street Brats or head over to Wando's, maybe.
Embers.
Embers?
Big taste. That's small check.
Sure. Yeah. Embers. Yeah, yeah, all right.
Embers and the Denny's by the motel. Those are my two joints there.
Okay.
But yep, I'll always remember this as the Madison shirt, but indeed, it is ripped.
Yes, it is.
So.
Yes, it is. Yeah. The shirt itself, from what I can only gather, is the early 2000s and the
mid 2000s. But it used to be a different color.
Well, no, it was purchased at a mall in Madison. So the shirt is an early 2000s shirt, but it arrived there in the mid 2000s.
Right.
They're just getting Van Halen in some parts of Wisconsin. So it's delayed.
But it was it used to be a different color. I can't. This is not really a describable.
Yes, it
color.
Did.
I don't know what it was.
Hope.
This is.
I believe you call that meh.
No, I think it would be gurple, which is a combination of gray and purple.
Yeah, that sounds right.
This is more. It's kind of gurple.
It looks sick. Like your
it does.
Your shirt.
It is.
My your shirt
is,
needs
Ill.
To be checked to see if it's got a temperature.
The shirt is. Do you remember the?
Your shirt ate something bad last night.
Do you remember the Simpsons episode where Homer has the sub sandwich? Remember?
Yeah.
He has the giant sub sandwich, and he keeps eating it and getting
That's
sick.
Right.
And the ambulance comes and takes him to the hospital,
right.
And he goes out to the garbage, and the sandwich, like, it's got actual mushrooms growing out of the bread. And he goes, oh, sandwich, I can't stay mad at you. And he takes another bite and immediately goes back to the hospital. It's the color of that sandwich.
Your shirt looks like it should not go to school today.
Right.
Like that's your shirt looks like it has a built-in excuse.
All it wants to do is stay home and watch The Price is Right and then, you know, the courtship of Eddie's father or whatever comes on. Yeah. So the producers, we have them. They are Jay Zawoski.
And the White Sox, too. You know, let's knock the White Sox a little bit. You know, first off, a couple years ago, they went all in. That was a complete mess. That never worked out. They made with Robertson and everybody else, they tried to sign Cabrera, and all of them are awful, and they were terrible. And then they unloaded all these guys. And let's be honest, the people they unloaded these guys for, the Red Sox trade, the Nationals, these guys aren't any good.
Dude. tighten it up a little bit, man.
The best part of that video.
There's two great parts.
They're awful and terrible.
There's two great parts. There's Jeff Passan is in the side-by-side. He's doing some sort of interview with Jeff, wherever the hell he is. And Jeff can barely contain himself. I mean, he's about to lose it. He's just kind of laughing the entire time. The second best part is when he tries to start just naming names. Cabrera and you know, Johnson and McMichaels and Phil Rosen.
Naming 85 Bears.
Dean and Berg and James Lawrenston and Paul
Lawrence Fells. Forrest Lawrenston.
We're like this.
His name is James Jensenfin.
We're like this.
There is a Lawrence Jameson to see. Yes! Yes! On the board, Rick Camp.
A lot of the pitchers from the Washington's terrible. Moncada has done nothing. The other kid can't make the stamp with those 110 miles an hour. I mean, Kopich, whatever his name is, can't make the team.
Like, Kopich.
What are his producers doing?
I mean, Kopich.
That's Kopech.
What is the bar? I can only assume. What is the bar? Like, listen, we'll give him a couple of names. He gets four or five right. We make ourselves look. We can only lead the guy to water. We can't make him drink.
Give him a cloud of names.
That's it. Yep. Just a bunch of names, and we'll see what happens with him.
And in the back, doing what he does, he is betrothed. He is engaged to be wed. It was a long and arduous process involving high-level multinational talks that has finally succeeded in arranging this the royal marriage. He is the executioner, Ray Diaz.
I mean, the White Sox, I mean, I know they expected to be bad. They're pathetic. They're a horrendous team. When do we give that team a little grief? They tried to go all in. That was a disaster. Then they tried to regroup, and even worse than we thought. What's your take on them for a sec?
But thanks, Pitchwell.
Tell him to talk White Sox.
You know when you can get, you know when you get to get angry and give them grief? When you can stop yelling. That's when you get to do it.
This segment brought to you by USAA Life Insurance Company. Today is the day to get USAA Life Insurance provided by USAA Life Insurance Company. Oh, San Antonio, Texas, right? Subject to state availability, issue limitations, and contract terms and conditions. Visit USAA.com. So,
what's your take on them for a sec?
I don't know. Forget the outcome of the Cubs game and look at that as a complete positive that Kyle Hendricks all of a sudden at least has the reaffirmation that he can pitch.
Oh, yeah. That's a 2-1 extra innings loss that still feels like a warm blanket.
Yeah. No, that's
comforting.
Okay. Yeah.
Change-ups to Duggar in that inning. Granted, the kid had just been called up and never seen something like that more than likely. But, those were vintage Hendricks. The spots were good. He's flipping curveballs on first pitch to Buster Posey and making himself feel comfortable there. That was very textbook. That was very comforting. And granted, Anthony Rizzo had a really bad night to have a bad night.
He's bad.
And Javi Baez fell asleep on a ball that got by Anthony Rizzo. Doesn't happen all that often. I think he just assumed that the golden arm would be able to throw out Alan Hansen at home, who's one of Major League's fastest players. But that's fine. A couple of sleeping guys gets you a loss, and Pablo Sandoval comes up with one. But that Hendricks start is comforting. It's warm. It feels good. It's what you had to have.
I have a new tennis friend.
Yeah, you are right, by the way. I mean, I knew this would be a difficult afternoon, a difficult morning, I guess, afternoon there.
No, I told you about it yesterday.
I know you did. I know you did.
I discovered Camila Giorgi.
Mm-hmm. Italian tennis player.
Italian of Argentine descent.
Yes.
Argentine-Italian
Jewish heritage,
yes.
Right?
Apparently so. And she's giving Serena Williams everything she can handle at
What's
this
the score? I can't read that far. What's that say?
4-2 oh. Giorgi in the first set and has add in. So.
All right.
Interesting.
Something and to root for all day.
5-2. Wow. All
right.
Yes. So sorry.
you're very pleased. Just very happy. It's good scouting.
I wasn't
it's
really.
Good scouting.
It was decent. It was a picture in a New York Times story that crossed as I was. It just sort of made it through my timeline. Look, it was good photo editing. Credit the photo editor of the New York Times who was saying, look at all of these unseeded players on the women's side and the men's side, too. Just lots of unseeded who are advancing. And the picture they used as the teaser was an action shot of Camila Giorgi, Italian tennis star. So I said, oh, I'll click on this because that's how I'm kind of hardwired. It's pretty simple. That's why, you know, things that are nice to look at are used as clickbait for stories. We know that, and it worked. And then I got into Wikipedia and then did a Google Images search.
Well, healthy research is part of the job.
Correct. Not like in a Pete Townsend way, though.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's a, oh, not no, that that's kind of bad. Research. That's not healthy. None of that's healthy.
No.
At all.
How did he get away with that?
I
know, but still, it's like, oh, you're only researching child pornography. You're fine.
No.
No worries.
No, that's bad.
It's all, don't worry about it. It's fine. So, but it's fine is how we feel about Kyle Hendricks, too. And I guess he, after the game, talked in detail about what he was doing, about what felt right, about why it sort of passed the eye test. And Kyle Hendricks is on a long list of athletes really good at talking about what they do.
Yeah, mechanics.
All of it. Mechanics, sequencing, all of it. So I want to hear Hendricks in his own words on why things look better.
Probably been my best pitch, you know. The fastball has been the worst. So just getting my glove side fastball today was huge. And everything works off that. So I think that's the changeup just came from there. It found my lanes, found the arm slot. And, yeah, that had to be the best changeup I've had probably all year. We've been wanting to throw it more, you know, been wanting to mix it in. And just haven't really been throwing the other stuff good enough to really do that. So today, like I said, fastball command was finally there, and it just opened up the rest of the game for me. Willie and I just were on the same page, mixing pitches, keeping them, you know, off balance, and that's the game I have to play.
There it is, Kyle Hendricks' fastball command. It set up the change, which was brilliant.
And allowed him to throw the curve.
Correct.
I mean, think about that. We talked with Gonzo yesterday. He's got a small margin for error because of the velocity he pitches at. When he's got his command and control, that's when he's on. He does need to have some of the stuff because of his velo. But if he's got a bad fastball and then has to shelve that curve, your one pitch being bad is taking away more weapons from you. JD's been talking about this on broadcasts pretty well through the season, is that he'd love to see him throw that curveball more. But if he can't do it, because he can't put the fastball where he wants to?
The only time we've seen him throw the curve early was out of desperation.
Kind
of. And JD pointed that out, too, where he said he's just trying anything he can right now because he doesn't have the feel for anything.
That was his last home start, right?
Everything starts with a well-located fastball. This is not rocket science.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Lock them in, indeed. Good habits, good for Cubs, when those habits belong to Kyle Hendricks. According to our guy Scott in Davenport, Hendricks's 78-game score was the fourth best in his career.
No joke.
He has had 117 MLB starts, and that was his fourth best performance of his career.
And will he get? No, he won't get another start before the All-Star break. There's only four turns left.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, there's only four games. I forgot they had the off day on Thursday there, so before they take off from San Francisco to San Diego. You almost wish he'd get one more after something like that. It's unfortunate that he won't, but I'm sure the rest is a pretty welcome thing for him and some other Cubs who have not been as consistent or solid or really just kind of reliable as you'd hope.
Yeah, and I'm a little perplexed by this veteran outfielder rumor that Rosenthal had.
You want me to pull this up just so we got the exact language?
Please,
let me pull this up
do.
So we got the exact language.
I'm not sure I understand.
Joe had it in the update here, and it does seem a little bit strange. So Rosenthal writes in The Athletic that the Cubs have had internal discussions about acquiring a veteran leader, such as the Orioles' Adam Jones or the Toronto Blue Jays' Curtis Granderson, and also reached out to other clubs about the possibility, sources told me and The Athletic's Jason Stark. Skip a bit, brother, and we get down to the idea that the only way for the Cubs to squeeze in a Jones or Granderson would be to trade one of their young outfielders, Albert Almora Jr., Kyle Schwarber, or Ian Happ. Such a move, and I don't think...
What?
Well, I don't think he's talking about trading one of those outfielders for Jones or for Granderson or whatever unnamed veteran outfielder. I think that's talking about a subsequent move or maybe even a prerequisite move that would net larger talent. Anyway, such a move would make sense only if it brought the Cubs a top starting pitcher with multiple years of club control. So there you go. Just read on a bit. And even then, the Cubs might resist. A trade for Jones or Granderson types might be more suitable on August 31st, the deadline for teams to set their postseason rosters. The fit would be easier then with regular season rosters expanding from 25 to 40 the next day. It reads to me like it's more of like a Leonis Martin kind of deal.
Okay.
Where you're adding an outfielder into expanded rosters anyway to get you a little more depth and move some things around.
Then what's the point of veteran leadership?
Maybe
if it's
match
not
up things if
team.
It's not in see, and you know, this is kind of the weird part. It says that you'd bring in a veteran with leadership. It doesn't say that the Cubs feel they need veteran leadership, just okay. That's a thing that Jones or Granderson would bring
it just happens,
to a team.
It so happens those are the names that were being discussed, but it isn't because they're pursuing it. Maybe we'll ask Joe about it, about that rumor or veteran leadership and what it means to have it. How do you know if you need it? What are the signs of knowing that you need it?
And this is a team that's often been, I mean, Joe's praised this team for taking leadership into its own cause all season long, right? I mean, he doesn't hold a lot of meetings. He lets guys adjudicate for themselves. He likes the conversations that go on in the clubhouse. He's praised this group of guys for bringing things up on their own and talking about stuff that other teams don't necessarily talk about. Adam Jones, by the way, 280, 305, 429, the slash line for Jones, which, fine. Mm-hmm. I have questions about the defense, not watching Orioles baseball as much as I can because of things.
Stop.
I stopped.
Okay.
I stopped.
Okay. You're going to start me on Lou Brock again.
No, because I'm going over to Curtis Granderson before we get into a whole thing
yeah,
over
we
here.
Yeah, we're embargoing
Granderson,
you from
by the way,
Orioles talk.
It's only good for me.
And by
it's
the way,
really
Texters,
just good for me.
Some Texters are pointing out that Kyle should be pitching Sunday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There are five games.
Tuesday, Friday, Saturday,
so he would go again.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He does have the chance to go again.
Right?
Put the off day in the wrong place and put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. You're right. He does have a chance to start the last one before
like you
the
did
break.
With, see, I'm with you on dirigible.
It is. It's dirigible.
I didn't think it was
dirigible. I looked it up.
It's dirigible.
I'm pretty sure it's dirigible.
It is.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. I thought you're right.
We move on. Look, just don't get a raccoon loose in the dirigible and you'll be fine.
We have no recourse. And yes, Zobrist is a veteran leader, it sounds like the lead on the Rosenthal story is just because of the names that were coming up there. It so happened that he can describe some of those potential targets as veteran leadership, not because necessarily they're pursuing it out of some perceived need.
I also tend to think that when you're looking at veteran outfielders like Curtis Granderson or Adam Jones, whose seasons haven't been Curtis Granderson or Adam Jones type seasons, though clearly there's some value in there. I don't need to say that they're valueless. Veteran leadership is a phrase that gets tossed around for those guys. Not meaninglessly. I mean, as Jones and Granderson both have that attached to them. They've been that guy in a situation, whether it's Granderson for the Yankees or whether it's Jones for the Orioles all these years. I mean, they've been dudes at the center point of their respective clubhouses.
I want to check out some of the Anthony Rizzo splits
right
when we come back. I know you had that screen.
Bad night to have a bad night for Anthony.
Yeah, because it brings some of this attention. And look, you're allowed to have a bad night. And there
of course
was,
you
there
are.
Was some
of
guys
course you are.
Sleeping in the field. And you know Javier Baez usually isn't sort of that lackadaisical.
That's one of those parks where you go in as a middle infielder or really yeah. anybody who plays a corner, and you got to know there's all this ground over here. So if you're headed this way and you've got a dude whose sprint speeds average like 30 feet per second, like Alan Hansen's does,
wow.
you got to throw the baseball. You got to get to it and throw it. You can't let it rattle around that whole thing.
Yeah, so like you say, bad time for a bad game.
Yeah.
It does bring some increased scrutiny on some potential headwinds here. So I want to check the numbers on that in a second on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This segment's brought to you by Hotels.com. With Hotels.com, get rewarded from seaside cabins to resorts. Hotels.com deals come with access to instant savings, too. Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded. Instant savings available on select properties.
So as Chris Bryant gets back into the swing of things in Double A with a home run, 2-for-4, I think, in last night's game, and looking healthy, if you listen to Mick Gillespie on with Mully and Hanley this morning, and certainly seem to be, you still have one of the tentpoles of that Cubs lineup struggling some this season. It's been Anthony Rizzo at first base. Defensively, an off night last night. He let one handcuff him from from Javi Baez. He kind of botched another one too, but it's a two-error game for Rizzo, and that's pretty rare. I tend to think he's a pretty decent first baseman. Others do. Some kind of check up a little bit on the stellar reputation of Anthony Rizzo defensively, whether he chops his feet a little bit or isn't just quite as fluid getting to the bag as you'd like. Some of that I think is stylistic, but the overall numbers, the overall success rate, I think speaks for itself. And the way they're able to deploy him in bunt defense is it's a weapon. I mean, that's just, it is what it is. The way Joe's able to use him and crash down on bunts, that's like Keith Hernandez type stuff. It's impressive. That said, offensively, you look at some of the numbers and get into some of the more granular stuff. Well, really not even more granular. Just look at the splits. Against left-handers this season, the slash line for him, which is average on base and slugging percentage, all of them in the twos, 213 average, 298 on base percentage, and a 293 slugging percentage against left-handers this year.
Ideally, 3-4-5 is where you want to be there.
Well, yeah, but even
you can
still,
handle 2-3-4.
Like if you're going to look at it, yeah, 2-3-4 would be fine. But if you're lefty-lefty with, you know, and remember, as Anthony Rizzo came up, even into that 2015 season, hitting left-handers was a difficult task for him. And then all of a sudden, at some point in 16, things just, I hit lefties now.
Well, he shortened
up.
He opened up slightly. He got a little more binocular vision, it seemed, of the left-handed pitch coming at him rather than just seeing it out of the upfield eye. And he shortened. He would go to the B-hack. He was able to go center away
right
against lefties rather than trying to hook everything.
Proof's in the pudding, too. Last season, 260, 374, 507 against left-handers. That is a that's a significant amount of success. Career 247, 349, 429 against lefties. Against right-handers, he's held his own this year, though I think it's not been a great shake. 249, 348, 436. I mean, it's fine. It's okay. But Anthony Rizzo's having a down season. It's something where he's been able to stay competitive at times. He's had a week or two here or there, probably two week and a half stretches where he looks a little bit like Anthony Rizzo, where he's pounding the ball a little bit. I remember the last trip to Cincinnati. I think he had a few good hacks and bat on baseball that worked out fairly well. But even still, searching for consistency there out of your first baseman has been kind of a season-long adventure.
Yeah, we mentioned it yesterday, just how it seems sort of appropriate that this year's position player all-stars are Baez and Contreras, and they're not Bryant and Rizzo. This has always been, as Brizzo goes, so go the Cubs. The question is that still true? That is that going to be the limiting factor in whether or not they win a title if these two aren't carrying the team?
I think I can give you the definitive answer on that. If the pitching stays the way it pitched the first half of the season, then yes. You're going to have to provide more offense for a starting staff that has done what it did in the first half of the season. Hendricks rebounding and getting himself a real nice start against the Giants last night is gigantic. It's huge. He'll get another one, it sounds like, before the All-Star break, which is good math. And that works out well for them. Tyler Chatwood remains a question. Yu Darvish has to bounce back into the rotation as well. Mike Montgomery's been great for you. But how long can you count on it? And if Darvish does come back, how do you balance out the rest of the rotation? You need more runs to support the unevenness that's happened in those starting five. Lester's an all-star. He might even start the damn game. But still, you wonder how long that lasts, and you wonder about regression in a second half.
Yeah, it is the kind of thing where you tend to respect the back of the baseball card. You know that Rizzo is a veteran player who is going to be some semblance of what he is. But how many games in are we now?
He has played 79. Remember, okay. he missed a handful with the lower back thing that kept him on the DL for 10 days.
Yeah, this is our jumping off point with this was, and again, the headline here, we got to make sure that we're not reading too much into it, but it was a story in The Athletic from Ken Rosenthal. And the headline says, wanted, parenthetically, maybe another David Ross. So the Cubs have held internal discussions about acquiring a veteran leader, such as the Orioles' Adam Jones or the Toronto Blue Jays' Curtis Granderson. They've also reached out to other clubs about the possibility. So the sources tell me is Rosenthal and the Athletic's Jason Stark. For several reasons, the idea is unlikely to come to fruition before July 31st, if at all. Cubs officials are unsure whether bringing in such a veteran at midseason would create enough of an impact. What does that mean? unsure if it would create enough of an impact.
In terms of production? In terms of just straight production?
Yeah, there's multi-level stuff going on here, because when you're saying enough of an impact or veteran leader, the impact of leadership?
It's deadline stuff, too. I mean, this is trade talk stuff, so there's going to be smoke here. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be, if it's Adam Jones of the Orioles, wouldn't Dan Duketius love to have interest in more players than just Manny Machado at this deadline?
Sure.
More players than Machado and Zach Britton, if he can get his head screwed on right? I mean, of course he would. So I hesitate to put too much emphasis in exactly what those specifically named players could bring you. Because as much as those teams might like to move them for an asset or two, I'm sure those agents would love to have them out of their respective places as well and onto a roster that's a tad bit more competitive come September 1.
Yeah, and everybody, stop with the Dexter Fowler stuff. No. This is, I don't think there's some road here that you're going to eventually wind up with that Dexter Fowler contract. That contract isn't, unless the Cardinals want to buy it out even, that's not.
Can you imagine them buying that entirety out, the rest of it? I don't know that they've left themselves a whole lot of options.
What are you going to do?
They've certainly dealt with him in a really rough way.
It's baseball money.
He's
paid it.
He's been bad, right? I mean, I think you got to get back to this conversation too, because as much as a Cub fan might like to see Dexter Fowler back and add him into an outfield, super, great. He's been bad. That said, the way that organization has had the conversation out loud in front of everybody about a struggling player, and questioned things about a struggling player that aren't like his swing or bailing out early or mechanical things, defenses, whatever it happens to be. That's effort. No, that's a conversation you don't have out loud without torching any kind of viability of a trade.
And the stuff that was leaking out after that initial story, too, is that you kept hearing things. And you know where this stuff comes
Feeney
from.
Feeney and Fowler don't talk.
Yeah, they haven't talked to the manager.
He gets told in a text that his leadoff position is gone and now you're on the bench for a little while. That's not something you do usually to a veteran.
The pervasive funk that follows him around. I mean, come on. This stuff, you know where people are getting things like this, and it's a smear campaign against a guy. And it's when that fan base that will take to such things or for certain kinds of players rather than others, it is easily received. They know how to do stuff like this, and it befuddles me why they would make an investment in that kind of asset. Still, I don't see this having anything to do with him and the Cubs.
No, I mean, look at it from a straight number perspective. He is underperforming. The contract is very expensive. How is that moved?
I mean, exit velocities and
markedly down.
Hard hit. It just doesn't happen. Especially, look, I mean, as is being mentioned here properly, you have Zobrist. Mm-hmm. You have Jason Hayward. I mean, Jason Hayward, if you're talking about veteran leadership beyond his years, somebody even when he wasn't producing, who was providing that kind of stability and leading with words and actions and example and professionalism, I find this story a bit odd. And like you say, it may be the best answer is this is deadline time, July smoke.
Agents really trying to prop up guys, elder players who aren't having great seasons, but trying to pitch the value of Adam Jones and Curtis Granderson and other players, rightfully so, with the veteran leadership that they can bring. They've both been lauded for that in the past. They more than likely will bring it to wherever they're headed if they're headed somewhere. It feels a little bit more like that to me than anything else.
We've got Jeff Sullivan with baseball information to keep you as informed as you can possibly be. Oh, and entertained. He is the senior editor of FanGraphs, and he's got things for us. We'll figure out why certain things are happening to the Cubs, the White Sox, and around baseball. That's next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.